phone, say, put the Donald on, I'm here to talk to him. Unapproachable. Why? Because of his position. President-elect. Imagine if there is that degree of separation between us because of his position. Imagine the unapproachableness of God. And the scripture talks about how unapproachable he is. We begin with 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. I thought, now how will I demonstrate this? I don't know. Maybe I'll go, there you are down there. Here I am up here. Unapproachable to you. Verse 16 of 1 Timothy 6. He's describing this Christ who has been so gracious to us. And he describes him as the one who alone possesses immortality. The idea of possessing immortality is that you possess whatever it is that separates you from death. You don't experience death. As a matter of fact, not only are you immune to it, it's just not part of your nature because you have life within yourself. For the rest of us, we depend upon prior conditions. There has to be enough air. There has to be enough blood in our... I was going to say lungs. You don't want blood there. Blood in our veins. You have to have enough air for your lungs. We depend upon numerous things to even exist. God depends upon nothing. He lives with immortality. Without any dependence, life comes from him. He doesn't look to anything for life the way we look to things for life. He possesses, within his nature, within his character, he possesses immortality, and he dwells in unapproachable light. What is that light? I take it that it's his own nature. It's his own glory. And a giant part of that glory is his holiness. If we were trying to approach him, here he is in this holiness, and he's hidden by all of this holiness. What's holiness? The word basically means different, special, unordinary, different than we are. He dwells in this differentness, and a big part of that holiness, part of that difference, is his moral perfection. You and I couldn't penetrate that force field of his he dwells in unapproachable.
That's
his light, the unapproachableness of his light. We can't penetrate that. His glory, his moral purity. It would be like a person dirty with their hands having been working out in the mud to try to enter the sterile environment of an operating room. No, you don't belong here. Stay away. Your germs don't belong here. That's the way God is in his infinite purity, his moral perfection. No, you can't come into this environment. You have sin, you have mistakes, you have misunderstandings. In here, there are no mistakes, there is no misunderstanding. It's all pure where I am. That's unapproachable, the unapproachableness of God. He's unapproachable because of that holiness that he lives in. Isaiah 57 also tells us that he's unapproachable because of his position in the universe. This is Isaiah 57, verse 15. He's describing himself to this nation of Israel that he's been speaking to, so they'll understand who's talking to them. Verse 15 of Isaiah 57. For thus says the High and Exalted One. That's how he describes himself. I'm high and exalted. So high you can't, I don't know, is it up there somewhere? It's so far away? Or is it just right here, even in this room, in another dimension? Wherever it is, it's so far away from our ability to access, our ability to approach. He says, I'm high. Physically, you can't approach me. Intellectually, you can't approach me. Who of you knows anything of me other than what he has revealed to us? Romans, of course, Romans 1 says we know of his existence, but we don't know how to have a relationship with him. He's too high. And then he says, not only is he high, he is exalted. And the difference between high and exalted is, exalted carries the idea of you have a right to be above us. You have a right to be separate from us because of who you are in contrast to who we are. Unapproachable. Why? Because of his holiness, his moral purity, all of his perfections, because of his high, unreachable status. He's unapproachable also because our inability to properly conceive of him. This idea comes from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. This is a very interesting passage. He's talking about the wisdom of God, how God has ordered things, how God has said, I'm going to see that things are arranged in this way. That comes out of his wisdom. Look at verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, now what he's saying is, God saw it fit to arrange things this way, his wisdom. Since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, whatever wisdom we have, God has arranged, that wisdom is not going to be able to do something. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. Here we are, the smartest minds we have, the most philosophically oriented people we have, are not able to bring us to God. He's still unapproachable. Even with our greatest wisdom, our greatest minds, our greatest philosophical understandings, God is unapproachable. And God has arranged it that way. Why do you suppose he's arranged it that way? He doesn't tell us comprehensively, but look at the last part of this verse. Since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not come to know God. God was well pleased. His wisdom says this is the best way to do it. God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Isn't that interesting? God says, it's not because you're very smart, it's not because you're very wise that you will get to know me. You will get to know me in a way that most people consider foolish. A message that people preach. What's that message? The little baby was God. And he came to this earth because we needed him. That's how a child could understand. God came to this earth because you needed him. If you're going to come to him with your philosophical understandings, he's unapproachable. His holiness and his infinite wisdom will crush your wisdom and your insight and your knowledge. He's unapproachable because of his holiness. He's unapproachable because of his lofty position. He's unapproachable because we can't figure him out. That creates a problem for us, doesn't it? How can you have a relationship with an unapproachable God? The one who is too holy for you to come close to. The one who is so high you can't reach him. The one who is so far away your mind can't figure him out. How do you have a relationship with an unapproachable God? He can come to us. He can come to us. And he can make himself close to us. He can make us close to him, no longer unapproachable because of his infinite holiness, because of his highness above us. Because of our inability to conceive properly of him in our minds. The approachable God approaches us so that we can be near to him. That's what we celebrate today. That this Christ, this God himself, came to us and made the unapproachable God approachable. Listen to John chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. You can't penetrate that force field of his holiness and get a look at him. He's too far away. Your eyes, if you saw him, you'd blow your mind. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God. God himself, the only begotten. Later manuscripts translate this, the only begotten Son of God. But the idea is that this God has a relationship with his Son. His Son also shares the divine nature of the Father, but the Son is not the Father. The Father did not come to the earth. It was the Son who came to the earth to make the unapproachable God approachable. So that when we listen to Christ, we're listening to God. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, in here. That's the idea. He wasn't created by God. He is God. He shares the nature of God. And as the creeds say, the Son proceeds from the Father. Wasn't created by the Father. Wasn't born of the Father. But has always been with the Father and proceeds from the Father to this earth. So we can become near to this unapproachable God. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father has explained him. Because of the inability of our minds to conceive of this infinite God, even though we know he exists, someone's got to explain it. Who's going to do that for us? I can't figure him out. He could come to us and explain himself to us. Now, he hasn't done that exhaustively. We don't know everything about God. How could we comprehend everything about God? But Christ has come to explain God. What has he explained? One of the most important things he's explained is that God wants to have a covenant with us. A covenant that says, I will pay for your sins. I will forgive your sins. I will be your God. You can be close to me. I make that covenant with you through this one who came as a little baby to explain me to you. I'm explaining myself to you. And one of the most important things I explain to you is, please, take this covenant. Believe in this covenant. It's my agreement with you. When Jesus said at the Last Supper, and he gave the cup and he said, here is the blood of the covenant. My blood seals this covenant. My blood establishes this covenant. That's what he's explained to us. Another thing he's explained to us is the sacrifice of Christ. This is from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly afar off, and what he's talking about in this context is, you Gentiles. I was closer to the Jews than the Gentiles because I had a covenant with them through Moses. Now I want to make a covenant with you and the whole world. And I want to, you were further away from me than the Jews were. But now look what's happened since the Advent, since Christmas. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's what we celebrate. We celebrate the sacrifice that brings us close. Even, it's not just that we can approach the unapproachable God, it's that we are close to the unapproachable God. Why? The sacrifice has cleansed us from our sins. And he welcomes us in a very near relationship. This baby, this divine child, this God himself has come to explain the covenant. Come to give the sacrifice that makes us near to God himself. And then this last one, what this Christ has explained. This is in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, he explains the priesthood of Christ. He had a priest had to be one of the people. You couldn't, and it had to be a member of the nation of Israel. You couldn't just go out and get one of these lousy Gentiles to come and be a priest. You couldn't get one of the angels to be a priest. It had to be one of you, one of the people. He came to be one of the people, his creation, not just staying up there in the unapproachable atmosphere of his holiness, but come down and say, I will suffer a human life so that he can tell you, I know what it is to be human. I know what it is to not be have this force field around me. I know what it is to suffer and to cry and to weep at pain. Hebrews 4:16. Because of that, because of his priesthood, let us therefore draw near. Well, how can you draw near? He's unapproachable. His holiness will keep us away. Our minds can't even get there. How would we draw near to him? Through his son Christ, we can, if you can believe it, draw near to the unapproachable God. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence, not with, gee, I hope I've done enough, not, I hope I gave enough. No, the confidence doesn't come from what we've done. The confidence comes from what this little child did. He entered our atmosphere, the atmosphere of sin, even though he was separate from sin, but he had to deal with it. And so it's looking away from ourselves to this child that gives us the confidence. I can stand before you, God, not in arrogance, but in confidence, because I know my priest has done what was necessary to make you and me close. That's why you can pray. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. That's the very presence of God inside that force field of holiness that no one can penetrate. Let us draw with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Christ has made the unapproachable God not only approachable, but so near that you can go to him with confidence when you lose your job and say, God, what am I going to do? Do you know what it is, God, for me to feel this way? Have you ever been a human being? Or when you're sick, to go to God and say, God, I have no hope of healing apart from you and apart from your mercy. Does that mean anything to you? Can you relate in any way up there in your force field of holiness? Can you understand how what I'm going through in this illness? Or in relationships, or in divorce, or in addiction? God, have you got any clue about my humanity? Can I ask you, because you really do understand, can I ask you for your mercy? Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. God, nothing says I deserve a job. It's not written anywhere, I have to be healthy. It's not written anywhere that this relationship cannot break up. Could you show grace? Could you give me what I need, even though I am so far removed from... No, I'm not far removed from you, am I? I am near because of the little baby who became a man, a divine man, who made the sacrifice on my behalf and became my priest so that I would no longer find you unapproachable, but I would find you very, very near. It is an amazing and wonderful thing to us, Father. First of all, at how truly unapproachable you are, how truly other you are in your great infinite holiness. And it is an amazing thing to us that since we could not approach you, you approached us and became our sacrifice and our priest, that we may be near to God forever. And between now and the time of forever, we might find grace and mercy. We love Advent because it tells us you have come near to us. In the name of Christ, amen.